Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word and who you are. Holy Spirit, without you, we are nothing. We need you to breathe on this word and give us the truth in the word. Show us what you mean when you say the different things in the Bible. Show us what you're trying to say. Show us what the original plan is in this word. Holy Spirit, without you, these words are just ink on paper. But you make them alive and make them alive to us and in us and through us and to other people. So we thank you in advance for what you're going to say in this class. Give us a fresh word from you and give us a clearer understanding of what church is all about and what we as a church should do. Thank you so much for it. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. And we bless you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. You can turn your books to chapter 2, Accurate Mission and Vision. It's a short chapter, but we're just going to cover that chapter tonight. And then we'll move on from there. Thank God that we can get out of chapter 1. Because I ain't got out of chapter 1 in neither one of my classes. I think I got out in another class. But there's so much information. Whenever preaching, just remember how to yield to the Holy Spirit. You can have your notes and what you think you're going to say and what you want to say. But when he got another idea, he got another idea. And boy, the Holy Ghost take you on that trail. It's a trip. That's all I can say, it's a trip. But it's the best trip. I'd rather 5 minutes of the Holy Ghost telling me what to say than 20 minutes of me preaching some good rhetoric of doctrine. I preached some good notes of that and that figured out. So that's the goal. Ephesians 4, and I always bring it back here to give us the, I always like to bring it back to government and make us understand of what's going on, and the part that we pray. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of love, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where ye are called. The vocation wherewith ye are called. With all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given a grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is but also he descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11. You read. Ready, read. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, you read, ready, read. Self and love, making an increase of the body. And the whole point is for the body to increase. I love that line. It says, "Till we all come into the measure, the stature of Christ." In other words, we should all grow to a point to where we're measuring up to what Christ looks like. We're measuring up as a body, as a church. We measure up to the stature, and we look like Christ to the world. There's a lot, and let me prelude by this, and we'll read about the accurate mission and vision, and we'll do a little reading in the book. But there's a lot of rhetoric, there's a lot of theology, there's a lot of man-made things. You're talking about not tossed about by man's wisdom. There's a lot of things that men have said. We talked about this before. A lot of things that men have said that church is. A lot of definitions men have made for church. Stand up, sit down, kneel over here, stand over there in that corner, wear this color shirt, wear this color there. And there's a lot of tradition and religion that has slipped into the church and has made the church less effective. The whole goal of the church is to not come here and to, we read this in that first chapter, not to come here and to get your word. Amen. You know it's not the original goal, right? I know you come and get your word, but it's not just for you. I was talking to a group of leaders yesterday in church. And it's amazing, when you're preaching, remember this, y'all, when you're preaching and you hit a good spot, don't ever get nervous when people quiet. When you're preaching, they quiet because they're listening. And sometimes they're not going to say amen. You're not going to get an amen corner when you hit a nerve. When you hit a button and it's kind of like, it's almost like you hit somebody in the mouth and they hold their mouth because they can't do nothing. They kind of stunned. A lot of times that's how it's going to be. I was talking to a group of leaders the other day and I said, today, and some of y'all, and I said, you know, today is not about you, right? At church, I said, you know, today is not about you coming to get your word, right? You know, today is about us being trained so that we can go out and minister to somebody else. That is the goal. Even here, right now, you're not here just to, you're here so you can be more anointed, or you can be a better preacher per se, or just so your name can be lifted. No, that's not the goal. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And the goal is, let me learn how to be more effective in ministry. Let me learn how to be more effective as the church. That's why the book's called Church Unusual. Not church as usual, but church unusual. The goal is for us to be able to come here, all this other stuff. They'll say to come here, get together, this place, this regular place becomes a special place. When we all get in one accord and we all begin to worship God together, when we meet on Sunday, when we meet, when we do, it becomes right now, even in this room, when all of our anointings come into the same room, this place becomes this ordinary place. I've been walking by this room all day. I work here at this office. I've been walking by this room all day. Praise the Lord. I didn't walk by this room and feel no spirit of the Lord come flying out the room. I didn't walk here and say, oh, Lord. The place was a regular place until we got here. And because we're here, now the anointing can move in this room and do something special here. But it's not just for us, but it's for us to take and bring out. You know, ministry, the word ministry comes from the long word administer or administrator. All that means you passing it out. So now when you're a minister, it ain't yours to have anyway. The anointing ain't yours to claim on your own anyway. You have a right to it. But the anointing is all for God. And so now the goal as a minister, remember this, a minister is not just a name or somebody that's carrying around a Bible or somebody that claims that they represent. No. Your job is to have to receive the anointing. That's why connection is important, to be able to receive the anointing and be able to administer the anointing outward. This is the goal. That was Jesus' goal, to preach to the church. That was Jesus' goal for the church. To take it in, and it's not all about you. Say it, it's not all about me. Come on, say it again. It's not all about me. Say it again. It is not all about me. It's not about who can submit to me, who can listen to me, who I can be leader, who I can tell what to do. It's not about me being so anointed. Do I want to be anointed? Yes, I do. Ain't nothing wrong with that, but understand the point of the anointing. The point of it is the church. The whole goal is for us to come in, this ordinary place becomes a special place, and God begins to do something special in our life. It's not here, we were talking about it in the Bible, you go there to lie down. It's not for you to lie down and suck up all the air. Not for you to come in and get fat like a tick in the word, if I can say that. You get all the word in, and you wrote all your notes up, and you underline your Bible, and so now you got a message for whenever you're going to do whatever you're going to do, but what about the people that you come in contact with tomorrow? What about those that you're going to come in contact with, the pastor may never come in contact with, but they need that same anointing that is in that awesome place that you were at? See, that's the goal. That's been the goal. But for years, because of tradition and because man-made ideas and because man wants to do what they want to do, we come up with all these other things. No. The goal is to come here as the church, meet at the church, as the church, and then spread the church. Are y'all with me? This is the goal. And so we must remember the goal. We must remember the point. We must remember why we're here. We must remember why we meet. We must remember what the church, this is what the church is for. Jesus' last commandment said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into, it didn't say bring them all to the church. It said go ye, It said go ye into all the world. So now when we meet and we come together and we come together as a group, this is the goal, to receive what we need to receive to be able to administer it out into the world. That's the goal of the church. Ain't nothing else. Ain't nothing else. Yes, praise the Lord, you can come and get your answer. Thank you, Jesus. But the object should be you should be getting your answers already, and you should be coming to power up and go do some more work. Yeah. I got to read this, but here's what we have to graduate to or mature to as children of God and as people of God and then as ministers of God. Most of the churches, the people in the church's prayers are going towards meeting their own needs. Come on. Most of the prayer is going towards, well, Lord, you know I need this. Well, I need this in my body. I need this healing in my body. Lord, I need you to deliver my children. Lord, I need you to deliver. And there's no problem with that. God will deliver you and your family and deliver you from wherever it is. He has no problem with that. But we've got to mature. No more children tossed to and fro. With every wind, the dog, and slide of craft, everything that comes. No. We've got to mature and come up. We've got to rise up to the stature of Christ, to the point to where when we come, we're coming to receive. We're coming just to worship. Huh? We're coming just to worship. I ain't coming to ask for nothing. I ain't coming to ask for nothing today. Lord, I'm just here because I know you want me here, and I know you got something to say to me. And whatever you got to say to me, it must be for somebody else. Do you realize that the things that you go through in life are not about you? Listen to me. When I understood that the stuff that I may go through in life or the challenges that I may have to overcome or the different situations that I may have to deal with, when I realized that life is bigger than me. You know, we look in the mirror every day, but life is a whole lot bigger than just me. And then when I realize that life is a lot bigger than me, then I realize that the stuff that I go through is for me to win so I can show somebody else how to win. The stuff that I have to conquer and the ways that and the hurdles that I have to jump across is not just for me to say that I'm a good hurdler, but it's for me to be able to show somebody else how to beat that. It is not just about church, is not just about me. And when we get that, we'll start to receive at church what we should. We'll start to do as a church what we should. The church, I was talking to my mother today, and intention is everything. And I think that the church as a whole, you know, and we all can agree that it's not being as effective as it should. Can we agree on that?
Yes, sir.
I know we got a lot of moves, a lot of preachers, a lot of different things, but as effective as we should in the earth realm, it's not happening. It should be more going on, more miracles happening, more change coming, more territory being taken than is. Amen. That's our job. That's why we're here. That's why we're learning so we can go and start changing this thing up. All right. But intention is everything. And when we get back to the original intention of what the church was for, and we start to focus back on that and put our eyes back on the fact that it's not about us, but it's about what God wants to do through us, then more effect will be taking place. People build churches, build buildings, they do other things for other intentions other than ministering to the people.
Yes, sir.
Me and my mother were talking about two locations. You know, some people got two locations with the church, and we talked about it, and we had a good conversation about it. I'm not against it. I'm for whatever the Holy Ghost tell you. All right. But I've seen ministries and I've seen people start a church here because it seems to be a lucrative area.
Yes.
You know, I could start over here in this city, man, and God could blow this church up. Everybody want a mega church. And nothing against quote unquote mega church. I have nothing against that. But everybody looking and people begin to look at the people begin to see the wrong things. I tell people about being a pastor, you don't choose that at career day. What you wanna be? I told them when I was younger, what you wanna be a preacher? That's just right, preachers. That can fall in a lot of categories. You can be a preacher in a lot of different, all five of you can be a preacher in one of them categories. But see, you don't get up there and say, what you wanna be? I wanna be a pastor when I grow up. Well, I never understood that when people said that. I never understood that because I always learned that you were called to be something. You didn't call God and tell him what you wanted to be. People get excited when they see the church stuff and they see the pastor. They see, you know, it's, you know, because the pastor sometimes walk in and he got some control. So he say, hey, you go over there and somebody go over there and get it for him. Stand up, sit down, raise your hand, pray in the spirit, stop. Meet me in the altar worker room. Meet me, you know, the intention sometimes get off from us on the onset of ministry. Sometimes the intention can get skewed. All that God called you to do it, then there's a reason for him calling you to do it, and then you have to stick to the original intention. Not because you think it's popular, but what is the point? What is the goal? And so it's all about the Holy Spirit leading and giving direction on where we're going. So chapter 2, we'll do a little reading and we'll be done with this chapter. Chapter 2 talks about accurate mission and vision. And this first line is very important. You can underline it. It said, God is raising governing territorial epicenters across the nations. Y'all see that first part?
Yes, sir.
It says they are becoming God's operational tactical basis for God's invasion. Listen to this. God's invasion into the cities and regions around about. And we have to do a little reading tonight. Now we'll just underline some of the different things in this chapter. Governing territorial churches are local churches that have become the epicenter and hub of divine activity in the region. Underline that. Governing territorial churches are local churches that have become the epicenter and hub of divine activity in the region. The point of a church being in the area is not because the area seems popular or because the area seems like somewhere good to have a church. No, it has to be Holy Spirit led. And when the Holy Spirit leads, there is a reason for him to put a church in that region to take over. See, what the church is, and I keep saying this, the church is God's base of operation, if I can say that. So headquarters, heaven, praise the Lord, amen. It's a base of operation. It's like he's planting operational bases in different places in the world. And it is his spot in that region to do divine activity. You know, we read chapter 1, it was talking about the angels going up and down the ladders, huh? And he said, oh, this must be a holy place, right?
Yes,
the divine activity must be going on in that place in the region. So now we don't just plant a church because, you know, it's the hood. Or we don't just plant a church because you don't see no other churches there. You got to be deeper than that. I can take you to a bunch of places where ain't no churches on the corner. I can take you to a bunch of broke down neighborhoods that need more church. I can take you there. But if the Holy Spirit don't lead there, there will be no divine activity there. The divine activity is based on the Holy Spirit's leading. And so it becomes the epicenter. It becomes a hub. It becomes a place. See, what the hubs do and the military base used to do, they'll come in and get rest and get replenished, but at the end of the day, they're supposed to get what they got to get and then go out and do battle. That's the point. That's the whole goal for it. It wasn't to come and now we live here. No, you don't live here. It's a place for divine activity. Y'all know, you know, we always talk about the government, the heaven to earth government. And if everybody's in place, apostle and the prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, if everybody's lined up, then the funnel from heaven is open. Huh?
Yes,
government. Everybody say government.
Government.
The funnel of heaven is open. And then divine activity, like in the Old Testament, we see God start doing things. God start coming down himself. Showing Moses in the part. Though divine activity, when God starts to, it's a place, but unless the Holy Spirit has told you to go there, there will be no divine activity. There's going to be some activity.
Yes, sir.
And then you're going to be trying to pray divine on it. How many times have we seen that?
Yeah.
Where you start the activity, then you ask God to bless what you started.
Right.
God is not responsible to bless your actions. God is responsible to bless actions that you've done inspired by him. That's the only way that the blessing and the anointing can be on it. Let me tell y'all something. Before, and I've seen that before, listen, I don't know what God is calling y'all to do. I believe God got a call on all your life. I don't know what he called. I don't know what he's saying. All right, but before you step out and do anything, don't get excited about getting in front of people. Don't get excited about ministry. Because you can watch Apostle do ministry and then start to think that, hey, I can do this. That looks like a pretty cool life. It looks like a good flow. That's what I want to do. What I want to do. I'm going to tell you, I just want to warn you ahead of time. Don't ever forget that I told you this. And then when you God calling you out and whatever he's going to do with you when you graduate and everything, don't go out there trying to start no churches or trying to start no ministries without the Holy Spirit's leading. Because you'll die. And I ain't talking about 6 foot under the grave. I'm talking about you'll shrivel up and stop being progressive. You know, the Bible talks about dying sometimes. It don't necessarily mean no more breath in the body. But if you're not producing anymore, you're dead. You remember that fig tree? It was dead. It was already dead because it wasn't producing what it was supposed to produce. There should be fruit. And so before we go out and decide, much prayer in the Spirit, you got to talk to the Holy Spirit about what he's calling to do, because we can right now have a focus group and talk about different areas where we come from and different places where it looks like there's more church needed, but I don't need the focus group. I need the Holy Spirit focus.
Yes, that's right.
Do y'all get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So I'm not moved by all this stuff, by what I see and all this other stuff. No, Holy Spirit, where are you telling me to go? God told this church is a perfect example of not only church unusual, but the Holy Spirit planting a church in a region and making divine activity happen in that region and changing the whole region around it. I told the story the other day. We had some guests over the house, and I was telling the story about what happened. I said, this is all sugarcane field. Wasn't nothing out here. Some of y'all don't remember that. Some of y'all, just before you was out here, sugarcane field. Wasn't nothing out here. Listen. What nothing out here. All this was sugarcane. This, across the street, you know, you see a little neighborhood when you're passing by, and they got a red light on the corner now. Oh, Lord. Got a grocery store. Ain't none of that was here. Straight field. On first time you saw a house, when you crossed them railroad tracks, and them houses right across that track. That's the first time you saw a house. What nothing out here. God said, I'm going to do it in Darrow. I'm going to do it here in Darrow. I'm going to do it here in Darrow. There were other offers. You hear apostles talking about, they offered him a big church in St. Francisville. Offered him a big church up in Baton Rouge. He said, Lord, I thought you was going to use me. You going to send me back down here in Darrow. That's when we were way down by the levee. Huh? Thought you was going to use me, Lord. Lord said, I'm going to do it in Darrow. He said, I'm going to send them from the east, west, north, and south. He said, I'm going to buy them cars. Some of y'all in them cars. I'm going to buy them a car, and they'll be glad to drive. These people are going to be landing in Baton Rouge. I always tell the testimony, landing in Baton Rouge and New Orleans and asking, where's Darrow?
That's right.
This is a manifestation today.
Yeah.
It is still happening today. Because God said he's going to do it here in Darrow. So now the divine activity has taken place in this area. He allowed God to use him. You know, this is supposed to be a garbage dump. You ever heard that story before?
Yes,
you know, this is supposed to be a garbage dump. You know, when he was about to get his land, when the apostle was about to get his land, they told him, there's some other land down the street. God blocked it. He messed up with some taxes with the people who had it. So God blocked it. The church would have been down there. God blocked it. That's what the Holy Spirit doing. Now, if you just be patient. My daddy was out there. He was talking yesterday. My daddy. Can I say that? Y'all forgive me for my. I had to, this is my daddy. Okay, so he's talking, and he was giving testimony about when God gave him money coming. God gave him money coming. Didn't know what he had. Started preaching it. And his name became a household name across the world.
Right.
Two words. Coming. Somebody asked him, well, how long had you been preaching before God gave you that word? I've been preaching 20 years.
Wow.
We want it all tomorrow. We want everything tomorrow. But sometimes God got to season you and prepare you for the season that he's taking you in before he can shoot you there. Because if not, you kill yourself. But it's a place of divine activity, a place of where God can do something in a region, and God can open up heaven. See, I understand why the church is here in Darrow. Many people don't look around and don't see. You know, Louisiana is one of the lowest states in education. Louisiana can be one of the poorest states. Louisiana has, years ago, New Orleans was the murder capital of the world. Years back, a couple years back, and not too far back, Baton Rouge was one of the top cities with STDs.
Yes.
I understand the different things going on in New Orleans, different things going on in different places. I understand the teachers being paid the lowest, and I understand why God dropped Word of Life here in Darrow, and why he put it in Louisiana. Apostle Thompson can go start a church right now. Y'all see all these churches. Apostle Thompson go start a church. You name a city. Name a big city. Name a big city. Name one. Name a big city. Name a big city. Chicago. Come on, name one. That. All right. Come on, keep going. Come on.
Atlanta.
He go start a church. Any one of them people have 30,000 members. Okay. Go start a church. We're going to start a church next week. Give us a year. We'll at least have 7,000 to 8,000 just to start off with. Listen, if it was about that, we can get that done. It is not about that. It's about God being able to have a place to be able to have heaven open, a place where people are willing to open up heaven.
Yes, sir.
And then he can send them angels up and down that ladder. And that divine activity can happen. What, nothing out here? All of a sudden, they want to build neighborhoods. No, I thought this was supposed to be a garbage dump. They said, don't buy the land because it's going to be a garbage dump. They had sectioned it off. The local government had sectioned it off to be a garbage dump. The Lord said, no, get it. Get that land. He turned a normal place to an awesome place. And God began to do things here. The story, listen, some of y'all don't know the story from beginning to end, from top to bottom, but it'll bless your heart. We're going to write a book. We're going to tell the story because it's amazing. We went from there to here, built this building, $2 million cash. We didn't come in here debt. Y'all don't know where we come from. We come from down there by the levee. God said, you're going to do it. What is Daryl? What is Daryl? Unless you close around here, you don't know nothing about Daryl. Who ain't never heard of Daryl before, Apostle Tom? Tell the truth. Just tell the truth. Don't sit there talking about, I knew where. No, you knew where Gonzalez was. Burnside, right. You know, Burnside, you ain't know nothing about no Daryl. He said, I'm going to do it here in Daryl. Now people come from, you come to camp meeting, people come from other countries to Daryl. What? Who are we, God, that you're so mindful of us? What is this that you've done in this area? But it was just somebody listened to the Holy Spirit to let him do something in an area, in a region that needed and made a regular place an awesome place.
Yes, sir.
And so now, because it's supposed to be garbage done, right? Garbage done. Supposed to be garbage done. Don't buy that. Garbage done. Don't buy it. Now it's the most prestigious neighborhood in the area.
Yes, sir.
And their land is backed up to the awesome place's land. And they can't move unless the awesome place give them permission.
Right.
Then they got neighborhoods come over here and over here. They about to build a little gas station over here. They're trying to build a little, they still been planning about building a little industrial plex thing over here on this side. And they, now it's popular, huh? Now the area is popping now. Now you want to be here, but it turned a regular place into an awesome place. And it's all for God's divine activity to be a witness to everybody around. And not just in walking distance, all over. Because the Holy Spirit spoke to a man, the man listened, and built the church where God told him to do it. And he did it where God told him to do it. And so now that place became a special place, and it became a hub, an epicenter, for people to come in and be filled and be able to take it out into the world. Yeah. You know, I'm a minister to my church because I want them to understand what they're coming to church for.
Yeah.
When you go to church and when we come to church, you have to remember, I say this over and again, remember what you are here for. You're not here for you to get filled like a spiritual tick and you to walk out all full and got your blessing. No, it is for you to receive and administer. Yeah. Nothing wrong with you being blessed. You know, in the course of carrying blessings to somebody else, you know, you go carry some oil to somebody else. You get a little oil on you, ain't you? Ain't it gonna be some oil residue on you if you gotta carry? So ain't nothing wrong with having some oil on you. Hey, praise the Lord.
Amen.
But don't forget the purpose of the oil. That's what church is about. Don't go out to talk about you want to start a church. What did God say to you? What did God say to you about the area? I can drop you in old, broke-up areas that need more Jesus. I can show you that, but if God ain't said nothing about it, it ain't going to work. So it becomes this ministry, I'm going to say this again, and we'll read some more. This ministry is the epitome of church unusual. You are sitting in church unusual. I have to talk about it for a little while. Everything you see is paid for. That's not normal. Some of your favorites that you watch can't say that. I'd have been to their churches and I've been to their meetings and I've been behind the doors. I heard how much debt there is. Everything you see, paid for. Every bit of land you see, you walk out any one of these doors, you look in any direction, it belongs here. Paid for. God is doing. He said, the land is in my plan.
Yes,
I, don't you show up. Listen, ain't no better school for you to be at. Listen,
yes,
Let me tell you something. I got to talk to y'all for a minute. So it can encourage you, so when you pull up on this parking lot, you know what's going on. Because it's very easy to get here and you get used to stuff. And so then you start sitting down and then it becomes regular to you. No. You don't understand the divine activity that's going on in this place. You need to understand. So when you pull on this parking lot, understand that this is a miracle every time you get here. You understand that the anointing that is on this land and upon this place, you come into school here. Listen to me. Y'all in school, right? Y'all enrolled? You done paid your tuition, all that good stuff, right? You got your name tag. You know you got a right to it, right? You know you got a right to the same thing that is on, if you stay connected. You got a right to it. Don't come in and say, oh, got to go to school. Now, every time you hit the tire, that front tire, hit that parking lot, you understand that you're on holy ground. Take them shoes off. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. You understand? When you hit that pavement, you are hitting a miracle.
Yes, sir.
Every time you do it, it should be an encouragement. It should be an uplifting. It should be a push to you. Don't just think, listen, y'all hear Apostle tell a story? Apostle says, I ain't too educated. I ain't that smart. I ain't none of that, but God's hand upon me.
Yes, yes.
That is the goal. Yes. If you get God's hand upon you, then the church becomes unusual. So don't forget, whenever you pull into the parking lot, whenever you're walking up these stairs ain't always been there. This ain't happening everywhere. When you come sit up in class, this is not school as usual. So you have an opportunity to don't let it be right there. I told, I prayed one day and I said, the Lord started dealing with me. He said, the lightning came and he said, you know, he said that the stuff you be reading about in the Bible, you know, we excited about the stories in the Bible and you read about it. He said, I got you in the middle of one of them stories right now. He said, oh, look, I started telling people, listen, we're here. Like, We are in the middle of a biblical story, if I can say it that way. A biblical proportions. We are in the middle. No, we're not. We don't have to go read about it or go talk about it. God put us in the middle of one. You in the school, ain't you? You sitting here, you right here in the room with me, right? Aren't you? You're here with me right now, right? God has dropped us in the middle of a biblical proportion story. He done dropped us in the middle of history. People are going to talk about what didn't happen here for years to come, and we all a part of it, but we're here. I don't have to look for another. I'm here. I have to look around and be like, I'm here. I'm in the middle. I'm here. Like, excuse me, my online friends, but they got people online that wish they was here in this class with you right now. They wish that they can come sit up here on a Monday and a Tuesday. You know, I got to go to school. No, you get to go to school.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I got to know you get to go to this class. It's a privilege. And say, I'm here.
I'm here.
Come on, say, I'm here.
I'm here.
Come on. Say, I'm right here. Just look around. Say, I'm here, like in the middle of it.
I'm in.
Come on, y'all, catch me. I'm in. Catch me. I'm in the middle of something that God is doing. God thought enough of me there to put me here. I got it in my book. Ain't no such thing as coincidence. Coincidence stopped years ago. Ain't no coincidence. Coincidence, the Bible said the curse calls shall not come, so the blessing calls shall not come. There was a reason for it all.
Yeah.
And God dropped me off here. I don't know how you got here. I don't know how you heard about here, but however you got here, God had a point. So don't let the point pass you.
Yes, sir.
This is an unusual place.
Any
place, listen, God may call you. I don't know what God's going to call you to do. He may take you to the church. The same anointing that's on here should be there. Stay connected and understand every time you set foot on this ground, you're walking in a special place.
Yes.
It is unusual.
Yes.
I tell them, Troy, I'm here, like, I'm here, like, like, you know, if they wrote a part two to the Bible, And I'm sure Apostle's name would be in there.
Yeah.
They could say, you know, we was right there. Your name, call your name. We was right there with them. We was right there in the mid. You know, they got the pictures in the Bible sometimes. We in the picture smiling like, yo, I'm here. We right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
in the midst of it. But it's very easy. Don't let yourself take it lightly. Don't let yourself take it lightly. It's very easy. When you go to your class and your other instructors come in, don't let yourself take it lightly when you're putting on campus. Don't let yourself take it lightly that, oh, this is who is this church? No, this ain't regular church. You realize the anointing that's on that every time you step foot on this campus, you step foot in a miracle?
Yes.
Do y'all realize that? That don't mean you got to be all deep like, thank you, Jesus. No, that don't mean that. But you have a right to receive from what's on this land.
Yes.
It's about your, I heard the statement a long time ago, it said, your perception is everything.
Yes.
And if you don't, the Bible says, you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet. You receive the prophet's reward. But if you don't receive the prophet in the name of a prophet, or if your perspective of the prophet is not proper, you know, you're not approaching properly. If you don't approach God properly, you can't get what you need from God. And so now, when an opportunity is there, an anointing is there, and an unusual territory, and an unusual situation, and a divine region is there, the way that you approach means everything to what you receive from it. Your approach has to be with reverence. Your approach has to be with understanding that this is not normal. What week is this in school? What week is this? 4 or 5. You've been coming here 5 weeks already, and then y'all second year, right?
Yes.
Like, don't let yourself be. So you've been in a lot of classes, huh?
Yes.
But don't let yourself take it lightly. Don't ever snap yourself. The flesh man want to sit down and be like, shoot, I got another class. No. You better slap yourself. Slap yourself, pinch yourself, whatever you got to do. Understand that at any minute, some divine activity can pop off in this place. Because we're in a divine place. And so I got my feet set and I'm here and I got my spiritual eyes looking. God, where you moving at? Because I know. Hey, listen, you know what I know already? I know that you do divine things in this place. I know that you already know. I look around, I already know that you do divine stuff in this area. So it might be in this room. It might be in that room. I'm looking for divine activity in the bathroom. Listen. So I walk around here, Derek, like, listen. God, what you going to do? Like, Lord, what you about to do?
That's right.
And I'm approaching it that way. And so I start seeing church unusual. So I start seeing what divine activity and a divine hub in a region. I start seeing what that is. We can read this book, praise the Lord. This book is describing this church. He don't even know it. So your approach, I don't know why we got over there, but your approach to the anointing here. Why you ain't in some other school? They got schools for days. I'm not knocking nobody else's school. I don't know what they're teaching. I don't know what God is doing in the area. Bless them. I love them all. The Bible says they're not against us, they're for us. Working together. Praise the Lord. But I do know what's going on here. And I do know the possibilities of anointing. Let me listen to this. Let me say that again. The possibilities of anointing. Let me say it again. The possibilities of anointing that you can leave with if the approach is proper, if the focus is right, if the faith is right when you come. The goal is for us to receive this divine anointing, this divine activity, and be able to bring it to the world as the church. That doesn't necessarily mean all y'all gonna start a church building, but you are the church. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
And so the divine activity that happens here can happen wherever you go, at your job, at your house, with your family. I want you to do something. I want you to ask, inquire about what God has done here. You see somebody that's been here for a minute, somebody been around, ask them maybe some things you don't know about the ministry and some of the mighty things that God has done in this area. Ask about them, because watch this. Because of the connection, are you connected? Because of the connection, are you connected?
Yes,
because of the connection, you have a right for the same divine activity that has taken place and is taking place in this building to take place in your building. My body is a temple, right? All right, y'all with me, right? My building, the church building. So I have a right that the divine activity that's happening in the region, in this church building, can happen in my church building, and I can take this to wherever I go.
Yes. Yeah.
So now we're in your family. Some of y'all got family that you want to be born again. They got a right to it. Some of y'all got people that want to be delivered. Some of y'all want increase in more things. Some of y'all want different things to happen in your job. You got people in your job that you know about. Listen, you ain't got to go and say, hey, I'm, you know, I represent Jesus. Hey, I'm anointed. No, you ain't got to say that. You ain't do none of that. Just be. The more intensity it needs to be, watch this, the more intensity needs to be put on the end of coming and receiving the divine activity. So when you approach here, and when you come here, your focus should be able to receive a deposit. But it's not for you to have a deposit and go scream, hey, I got a deposit. Do you realize that Jesus never screamed, I'm the Messiah? You know he never said it, huh? Go find. I'm the Messiah. I'm him. No, Jesus said, who you say I am? Jesus said, go. That sin's forgiven, but don't tell nobody. Now, he knew they was going to tell. That's how you get your eyes open and don't tell. What you going to go back and say? How you going to go back and explain you sin? But he just was. He let the divine activity take place wherever he was. And at that moment, listen to me, y'all. At that moment, the woman at the well, the ones with the blind eyes, the ones with they let the man down in the roof. Y'all know the story. They let him down because they had no more room. They let him down the roof. The daughter's son had died, and the one that daughter had a demon. Whenever that happened, the boy was out in the woods cutting himself and breaking the chains. Whenever God brought deliverance, that became church. That became a special place. That cave where that boy was cutting himself up there, and nobody could do anything. He was whooping people every time they come down there. Jesus showed up as the church. And that place became the church.
Yes.
Why was it the church, Troy? Because divine activity was taking place in that place.
That's right.
This is church unusual. Jesus is church unusual. So now when I come, we got to stop. When I come, my approach is whatever's on this place, I want to be on me so I can take this that's on this place to another place. Paul said something the other day. He said, you know, he said, your witness and your anointing. And he said, it can be, watch this, it can be contagious if it's not contaminated.
Yeah.
Now, stick with me for a second. It doesn't mean you contaminate. Now you went and thought about sin. You know, contaminated with sin. Well, you know what? All y'all need forgiveness. We need forgiveness all the time. You know what? We're going to need it some more next week. Y'all want amen me on that. You know, you just going to need it.
Right.
Ain't nothing good in you but God. All right, but it can be contagious if it's not contaminated. We say, Montreal, what you mean contaminated? We tend to contaminate the anointing, watch me. Or we tend to contaminate our witness, watch me. Or we sometimes contaminate what God is trying to do through us by trying to show us. You contaminate your witness, and it's contaminated by self. So you show up and start telling people, well, you know, you need to get your life right. You know, you need to get yourself together. You know, you ain't doing this right. You know, the Lord don't appreciate that. You know, I come to church, and I live holy. I took my communion the other day. You know, I'm Reverend such and such. You know, I'm this and this and that. And you start lifting yourself up. All right, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, what happens? Come on, I'm going to teach you how to preach. You ready? Teach how to preach. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, what happens? But if what happens, what's the opposite of that? Prepare.
Wow.
No, repair. You ever had the magnets and you try to put them together, but they won't go together because the charge is opposite. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
This should be happening. The place that you set foot at tomorrow should become the church.
Wow.
It can be contagious. You write that down. It's going to be on the test. I ain't even think about it. I might not even put it on the test just so it won't seem like a test question so you remember it. It can be contagious if it's not contaminated. Chapter 2 is like 8 pages. We only got on page 1. It's all good, though. It's all good. Amen.